Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Amen. Philippians, we're going to be in Philippians and we're going to be in Jude. Philippians and Jude. As you're turning there, let me say what a phenomenal, not only turnout of people that we had on our fall festival, but the turnout of volunteers. Thank you so much for you volunteering. What was cool is that by 9:30, everything was cleaned and we were all leaving. So thank you so much for your helping and working and ministering and serving. Amen. So thank you so much for all that you did and all that you do. For whatever reason, before we built this building, we used to have on Halloween about 600 or 700 people. And I think it was a combination of several different things, that we were about the only church who did something. And then we had to miss a Halloween because we were building this building. We didn't have any place to put nobody. So we have averaged over the last few years 200 to 300, 350 maybe. But then this past year, I mean, we registered 634. And I know that we had a bunch more than that that didn't register, because folks just, you know how folks are. Some folks don't follow direction. Like, I don't know if y'all notice or something, but some people just don't follow direction. Like, you know, there's a sign out here that says, do not enter, but they do it every time. It's a form of rebellion. Y'all catch that? That was smooth, wasn't it? That was smooth. Yeah. It's just rebellion. Yeah. I've talked to a few people. Oh, Pastor, what's the big deal? Well, you are throwing people under the bus. So if you have been doing it, quit. That's right. Stop. I was leaving out there, because I always wonder what's going to happen when somebody's leaving. And I was doing that today, and somebody, I won't call their name, but their initials is BS. Bobby Smith. And she had to get all the way over to the other side to let me get out. And I gave her that look. So we had a lot of people that didn't register on Halloween. But we had a good time. I'm telling you, all of your kids just were a darling, beautiful, outstanding. Some people, I thought this was great. I mean, some people came dressed up, and some people came and looked like they were dressed up, but they wasn't. And some of the masks were real scary, and some of the masks wasn't real scary. Amen. Philippians, let's go there. Philippians chapter 1. If you're there, say amen. I'm going to read tonight from the, not my normal New King James Version. I'm throwing you a slider there, Mike. I'm going to read from the New American Standard Version. But it's pretty close to the same thing. Here's what it says. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. My goodness. That's enough right there. We could go home. If you could get that part. He who began a good work in you is able to complete it. The translation that I wanted to read, it says, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, flip over with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. verse 13, it says this, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Then if you go to the book of Jude, verse 24, because there's only one chapter. Verse 24, it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling." Hallelujah. "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Boy, I sound a real, like an old preacher. Joy. "To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." Now, some people worry. I want to talk to you tonight. I just simply titled this message, "I Know I'm Going to Make It." I know I'm going to make it. Now, I want you to know, and you can call it arrogance, you can call it presumptuous. I call it confident in Jesus, especially over the scripture we just read, "For I know that he is able to perfect that thing which he began in me." I know that he is able to complete. Now, look at your neighbor and say, "God knows you ain't complete yet. But I know that God's working on you. And there's a whole lot of work he's got to do." Right? That'd be on all of us, right? There's a whole lot of work he's got to do on us. But the clue is we've got to let him do his work. But while he's doing his work, we also got to do our part. All right? Now, some people worry about, "Am I going to make it to heaven?" If you worry about that, you need to stop worrying. You need to get it under the blood, get as close to God as you can, and quit worrying about if you're going to make it to heaven. I worry about a lot of things, but making it to heaven ain't one of my worries anymore. Why? Because I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. I'm doing my best to follow him, to serve him. There are some things, pastors, that I might worry about, but going to heaven's not one of them. I've made my election and selection sure that I know I'm going to heaven. Well, but, you know, now, let me just ask this question, and this is not a trick question. How many was raised classical Pentecostal? All right. I'm just going to talk to y'all for a little while. Because we was raised that how easy it was to slip off the straight and narrow and go into the caverns of hell. I mean, we were taught by well-meaning people that God was not the God that most of us know, but that he was a God waiting for you to slip up so he could smash you. Anybody else raised that way? I mean, you know, I mean, you got to be careful. I mean, you can't nothing. If you speed, you probably going to hell. So that means all y'all. All right, so, but now check it out. But then the charismatic movement came, the word of faith movement, and all the other movements, the liberal movement. And then we came to a place that now everybody believes that no matter what I do, I'm saved. And that's false. "Well, I'm so confused." Well, I'm trying to help you. Because we think now that I can live and behave any old kind of way and I'm okay with God. Well, pastor, where is that line? I'm going to help you, right? I'm going to make it clear as mud. Here we go. Here's where it is. I don't know where it is for you, but I know when I start getting close to it for me. Did you hear what I said? That's why you need and should desire the Holy Spirit, for Him to convict you when you begin to get off of the straight and narrow. Now, you know, I'm going to leave it alone. But when you begin to get away from the things that you know are right, God begins to convict you and begins to work on you. And when that happens, it's like why you drive it in Florida. They don't have these everywhere, just let me tell you. But those worship bumps. And let me know what I'm talking about. On the road, because you can worship and then you go do 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 do, and then you got to put your hands back on the wheel. No, don't do that. But what it does, it lets you know that you're getting close to the side, right? And it's the same way with the Holy Spirit. When you begin to get close to the side, they'll let you know. But here's the problem. Some of us just want to ride the bumps and see how close to the edge we can live. That's not where God called you to live. God called you to live in the interior, between the lines. He called you, now there's a lot of fluctuation between the lines, but He called you to live between the lines. Well, Pastor, what are the lines? You got to know that for your own self. Now listen to me, help me. God doesn't have a set of rules for you, another set for you, and another set for you, and another set for you. Because I've heard this argument. It's okay that I sleep around because I love this person. God knows my heart. You're going to hell like a bullet. Now, if that offends you, I'm sorry. But I would rather you be offended to me than then wind up in hell, backstroking in the lake of fire, wondering, I wish that preacher would have told me, I'm telling you. All right? Now, so, you know, there's some non-negotiables. The Big Ten, they're kind of important. All right? You know, should I cheat somebody? We all know that that is not right in the sight of God. You know, but other things, you know, some people are convicted about things that are not heaven and hell issues for other people. All right? Am I making sense to you? Am I being too vague? Because I have to be very vague because I can't. The only way that I can do it is preach my own convictions, and I don't want to preach to you my convictions. I want you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord. All right? So here's my wife says this a million times. Follow peace. If you're over here and you're hitting these bumps and the Holy Spirit's checking you, then you better get back in the lane. All right? I don't know why I'm even going there, because that is not in my notes. But I feel like I needed to say that. But the enemy uses tactics of the mind to bring into doubt the fear that you are saved. Well, if you were saved, this wouldn't have been happening. Right? Well, if you were saved, you wouldn't go through this. Well, if you was really saved, how many's ever got this one? If you was really saved, you wouldn't be tempted. Sometimes I know I'm saved because I'm tempted. Yep, I got your number, devil. I heard you. Come on, somebody. But not only have they been saved, but they've also can rely on the completing of the building that God is doing in their lives. But you got to know who He is. All right? So then let's look at it. Point number one is this. He has started a work. He has started a work. That's the beginning. I was talking with a couple of guys today, and I made the statement. You know, it's almost like when you were in middle school. You know, when you I don't know how they do it now. Now they talk about, you know, I don't know the stages. Let me get on with somebody that knows. So you start. Yeah, I'm talking to her. You start talking or something first. You know, you talking to that person. That means you're kind of getting serious, right? And then what's the next stage? We're talking. Then we're dating. We're talking. We're talking. We talking. What? You heard that one. Yeah. I got to say, he knew. Because I remember when they were talking. And then I didn't know where the delineation was when they started talking. And then it went to from talking to dating. And then, yeah, they skipped the dating part, went right to marriage. But and then they went dating and then dating to engaged for like a day. And then they was married. Right? Right. Yeah. That's why that worked. But so, but here's the deal. Back when I was in middle school, we would say the word, you start liking somebody. And then once you started liking them, you'd pop the question. Would you go with me? Go where? Yeah. Where are you going to go? That's like, you know, the little girls back when my kids were school. Oh, they're dating. They ain't got a car. How they dating? They ain't going nowhere. How they dating? They ain't dating. Holding hands at school is not dating. So anyway, but that's kind of like when you meet Jesus, you know, when you start talking to him, then you start talking, or you start dating, you start going with Jesus. That's when you got saved. But then it takes a little while. I mean, I remember, I'll never forget the day. Think about it right now. I remember the day when I saw Sherry. Ooh, child. She was outside of a little camper because I was staying with my nephew who was older than me. And so somebody was knocking on the door and I looked outside and I went, come on, somebody. I wasn't saved. And so I told Wendell, my cousin, I said, there's a gorgeous little girl out here knocking on the door, but my hair ain't fixed. I ain't going to go to the door. You're going to have to go check it out. And then so I found out who it was, and she wanted to go to the mall. And I was like, go to the mall? Nothing. We in Panama City. Let's go to the beach where I can check you out. That's what I want. But anyway, we went to the mall. So anyway, I remember that time. And we begin to date. We begin to go steady. I remember the time when we started going steady. You know, and I remember she told me, matter of fact, we were going down the road. Can I tell this story? We were going down the road, and I was a young Christian, and we were going down the road, and I was driving, and she said to me, Ronnie, and it was a dark road too. She said, Ronnie, pull over. I thought, all right. Well, all right. And she looked at me and said, she said, I just want you to know that I'm not dating anybody else but you. I said, really? She goes, yeah, because we live like 250 miles apart. And she goes, I don't care if you come to town once a year. I just want you to know I'm going to be waiting on you. I ain't asking you for nothing. But I'm just going to let you know I ain't dating nobody but you. Yeah. And I said, well, I ain't going to make that commitment. That's a long way to go for a little bit of sugar. Come on, somebody. No, sir. Oh, I let me finish the story. Because then that weekend, she went home. Because I was dating 7 different people. Everybody knew about everybody. I was just, you know, common property. But anyway. And so she went home. I'm getting there. She went home. And then I went to one of the girls' houses after church to have some fellowship. And we was watching a movie and she kissed me. And when she kissed me, I felt like I cheated on my wife. I said, what? Come here, girl. I said, I got to go. She said, where are you going? I said, I got to get away from you. Why? Because my heart was there. Are you hearing me? And so, but it took me, that was in June, but it took me a little while for me to get to know her. So you like Jesus, you start dating Jesus, but it takes you a while to get to know Jesus. And matter of fact, I'm still learning stuff about my wife, and I'm still learning stuff about my Jesus. And every day, that's right, every day you can learn something new about Jesus. But he's building, he's perfecting that area of your life, and you just need to fall in love with Jesus and quit worrying about whether or not you're going to make it to heaven or not. Because if you're in a relationship, I'm not worried. I don't walk around worried about if I'm going to cheat on my wife. Why? Because I do things to make sure I don't. One, I love her, spend time with her. All right? The same thing with Christ. So he started a work, and we are all ongoing projects. You're an ongoing project. You haven't made it. We are all ongoing projects. All of us need the master builder doing something in our lives because we have not arrived. You have not arrived. At the point of salvation, we begin to allow God to bring out what he already knows has been there from the beginning. He deposited in you at the very foundation of the world. He deposited something in you that he will spend the rest of your life drawing out of you if you allow him to. The two most important days of your life is the day that you were born and then the day you discovered why you were born. And if you ever discover why you were born, it's a game changer. Because you belong to God. And let me just help you. I don't care how long you've served the devil, you still belong to God. It doesn't matter how long you've ran from God, you still belong to God. You might have cursed God to his face, tried to spit in his face. You might have left church and left God, but you still belong to God. You may say you don't believe in God, but you still belong to God because he still believes in you, because he created you and he put something in you that will never be complete without him in your life. God made you. He gave you life. He son purchased your salvation at the cross, and he still believes in you. There comes an attack in the mind of believers that goes something like this. I know you are saved now, but will you hold on? Listen, I wrote a song many years ago about this subject. And I'd like to sing it for you if you would let me. And since I'm the pastor and have the mic, I'm going to. But it goes like this. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Second verse a little bit better. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Then the chorus says, hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. That's what you got to do. You got to hold on. Because there are so many things that are vying for your attention, vying for your affection, trying to pull you away from what God saved you from, and you've got to hold on to the promises of God no matter what it looks like in the flesh, no matter what it looks like on the surface, you've got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Just listen, God's love, what the devil will not tell you is that the love of God is bigger than any failure that you've ever had. The love of God is bigger than any failure you've ever had. The God that was able to save you is able to keep you and will complete His work in your life. But you've got to remember that. That you're not perfect. That He's still working on you. But you can't use it. See, here's the problem. We go, well, He's still working on me. Don't judge me. But you can't just use that as an excuse. So there's a balance that comes with it. That I shouldn't think more highly of myself than I ought to, but I shouldn't think more lowly of myself than I should. Right? So there's a balance in this thing called serving God. The pressure is not yours. For I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. You are not the builder. Only the clay and the clay of your life rest in the hands of the Almighty. But you've got to become supple in His hands and allow Him to mold you and make you. Because if you're not pliable, guess what? You have to go back to the drawing board and they beat you. That's what they used to do with clay. They would beat it and smash it and put water on it and smush it in order to make it more pliable. So I wonder, maybe some of the things that we're going through is because we're not pliable. Let me tell you, point number two is this. The past is gone. The past is gone. The Bible said that He threw your sins into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. But how many knows that people still remember your past? Let me tell you somebody else who remembers your past, the devil. And he's always trying to go fishing in the sea of forgetfulness. But God put up a no fishing sign. So you allow him to dredge stuff up from your memories and from the things that you know. How many's ever heard a song and took you right back? Right? And it took you right back there. You've got to understand that your past is no more. It's time to release the past from and all the things that go with it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. We want to release the bad, but sometimes you've got to release the good in order to go to the next level. You see, the past of your life has met the blood of the King, and the blood of your righteousness took away your past, and you now can survive because your past has been washed by the blood of Jesus. People remember your past, but Jesus washed it clean. People remember who you used to be, but Jesus is determined to show people who you are. Arise, shine. Let His glory shine on you. The Lord Jesus is determined to allow you to understand that you're His child and that you are blessed by His. But listen, the problem is we've taken on the spirit of entitlement. You cannot dictate to God. You stand on God's word, you declare God's word, but you cannot dictate God. All right? The blood of Jesus washed your past, but provided for your future. So you don't have to keep looking over your shoulder. Now, well, Pastor, what about some things? No, listen, if you robbed a bank, you may have to go to jail. But I'm saved. It doesn't matter. You're still probably going to have to go to jail. How do you know? Because I delivered a dude to the federal penitentiary. He got saved, miraculously saved, but he was a drug dealer. But he still had to go to jail. 3 years, as a matter of fact. The blood has allowed you to pursue and apprehend a future. Can I tell you, before the blood, you didn't have a future. Your future is based on the blood. My God, somebody hear me. Your future is hid in the blood. The other things, you're not even doing anything. Your life really starts when you come to Christ. Your life really starts when you begin to apprehend. You know, Paul said, I have not apprehended that which Christ apprehended me for. That there's a reason why you were saved. God just wasn't in the vicinity and decided to save you. He saved you for a reason and a purpose. He saved you so you could do something, so you could be something. And can I tell you that God is more concerned with you being than He is doing, because doing always precedes being. We get into trouble when we try to do and we are not. Preach, I believe I will. Thank you. The blood has allowed you to pursue your future. The posture of the past will be replaced by a faith in God that will bring about the completion of the work that God will take you to new heights and new depths. What did that song say? Take me to a place I've never been. Listen, I've been serving God for 30 years, but there are places I still haven't been with God, and I declare I'm going there. I don't know when, but I'm going to keep every day trying to get there, right? And that's what you need to do. Everybody in this room, you know, and I pick on Roger a lot, but Roger, when I've said this before, he worked on our staff, but Roger, and I think you know that I've said this about you, but I've said Roger Cash is the epitome of a Christian gentleman. But can I tell you that God is still working on Roger Cash? How do you know? Because I work with him and I'm around him and I know that God's still working on him. So it doesn't matter. It's not that like you get to a place and you arrive. Until we leave this earth, God is going to be working on us. Point number three is simple this. Very simple message tonight. That God is able to protect the completed work. God is able to protect the completed work. Understand, church. You only protect what is valuable. Do you know what? I know y'all can't believe this. Last night, I took some things out of my house. And I took it to the side of the road this morning. And I left it there. And nobody messed with it all day. Nobody. It was my trash. Finally, around 4:30, a truck come by and picked it up. But do you know that nobody went through it? Nobody. I didn't put a lock on it. I didn't need to protect it because it wasn't valuable. But God protects what he started in you because you're valuable in his kingdom. Now, I'm not going to put my big screen TV out there unless it's broke. True story. A buddy of mine in Pastor's Atlantic Beach Assembly of God. Sherry's already laughing. Because he put a VCR out there on the side of the road. It was broken. Somebody come by, knocked on the door and said, excuse me, is that your VCR out there? He goes, yeah. He said, well, I'm going to take it. And I was wondering if you had a remote that goes with it. You can't make this stuff up. His name is Donnie Hutto. Donnie laughed. He goes, well, hang on. Let me see if I can find it. I think I do have it in here. He walked over there to the kitchen drawer and he found the remote and he came back and gave it to me. There he goes. Yeah, man, I really appreciate it. Thank you. He goes, you're more than welcome. Was it the next day or 2 days? The next day or either the next day or the 2 days later, knock come at the door. Same guy. Can I help you? Hey, man, that VCR is broke. And he laughed and said, that's why it was outside on the trash dump. Right? You do not protect things unless they're valuable. And you are valuable in the eyes of God. He will protect you. We have an armed guard protecting the work. This is the Holy Spirit. Here's what Isaiah 49:22 says. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations and set up my standards to the peoples. And they will bring your sons in their house and your daughters will be carried on their shoulders. And kings will be your guardians and their princesses your nurses. They will bow down to you with their faces to the earth and lick the dust of your feet. and you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hopefully wait for me will not be put to shame. Can the prey be taken from the mighty man? Or the captives from a tyrant be rescued? Surely, thus the Lord says, even the captives of the mighty man will be taken away, and the prey of the tyrant be rescued. For I will contend with the ones who contend with you, and I will save your sons. Here's what he's saying, Isaiah 49. Now I was reading from the New American Standard Version. But here's what he's saying. That when you put it under my protection, I will contend. I will fight the ones who fight you. I will contend with the ones who contend you. Because you're valuable to him. Aren't you glad that God did that? You didn't get saved and God said, okay, good luck. See you in the future. No, he's right there with us. Each step of the way, every day. Right here with us. I know that I can make it. I know that I'm going to make it. The God I serve is able to keep me from stumbling to the point of not getting up. I wished I could tell you I never stumble. And I might lose some people right here. I have before. But I stumble. From time to time, I stumble. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? Well, come to your own conclusions. Doesn't mean that I go out and get drunk and, you know, and fell off the wagon or something like that. But I stumble. I miss the mark. That's what sin is, missing the mark. Right? The Bible says anything that is not of faith is sin. All right? So there are times I miss the mark. I stumble. But not to the point of not getting back up. Because every time I stumble, come here, Justin. Because every time I stumble for me. Every time I stumble, Christ is there to help me get back up. Here's what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, a righteous man falleth seven times, but he gets back up. So I say to you tonight, get up. I say to you tonight, know that God is in the business of working on your behalf. See, I stumble in my humanity, but fall into the power and the sovereignty of the grace and mercy of God. That's what I fall into. When I fall into his hands. Not out of his hands, into his hands. And he picks me back up. And to beat all, it makes him joyful for me to rely on him and not my own strength. It makes him joyful. It pleases God when I rely on his strength and not mine. Because I can't do it on my own, guys. Neither can you. You cannot do it on your own. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. Come on, stand to your feet. Hallelujah, Jesus. I just want you to forget about it for just a few moments of everybody that's around you and just lift up your hands and declare, I know that I'm going to make it. Now, would you just say, tell the devil, you are a liar. I will be fruitful and I will have peace because I belong to God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now come on, give him praise. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.